what I hope is going to be a very productive meeting of our committee. Before we take roll, just a couple brief comments. One, I want to welcome Judge Kalmakarian. He's my presiding judge, but he comes to us as our liaison from TCPJAC. And I will simply say, and this will sound biased, but folks, we've got a great liaison on our hands. And as I told him yesterday in a meeting, we've got our eye on you. So I think you're going to see a lot more of Judge Kalmakarian in the years to come, and you will appreciate that. Also, we have a very, as I said, a very important matters to consider today that I think we all agree as the culmination of a year's worth of work. We're not quite there yet. We do have final budget numbers to come in, but our appreciation to from the chief to Martin to John and his staff for getting us where we are today, because I think we have, I don't want to say we've turned a corner, because that curses things, but we sure are appreciative of the route we're on now. And I think I've said enough to start the meeting. With that, I'll ask Brandy to take roll. Brandy?
Sure thing. Judge Conklin?
Present.
Ms. Fleming?
Present.
Judge Fannin? Going to be absent today. Judge Gabe?
I'm here.
Thank you. Judge Kelly?
Here.
Judge Alarge?
Present.
Judge Ryan?
Present.
Judge Sachs?
Here.
Judge Siebert? Judge Thompson?
Here.
Judge Zahner? Going to be absent as well. Ms. Bartleson? Mr. Finke?
I'm here.
Mr. Harrigan?
Here.
Mr. Kim?
Here.
Mr. Landry?
Here.
Ms. Levere?
Here.
Mr. Riley?
Here.
Mr. Rule? I can see you. I will mark you present. Chris, do you want to try to, are you able to unmute? Okay, we'll circle back, but I will mark you present and we'll see if we can't get you unmuted for participation. Mr. Taniguchi?
I'm here.
Mr. Taylor?
Here.
Mr. Yamasaki?
Hello, I'm here.
Thank you. And advisory members, Mr. Wardlaw?
Yes, good afternoon.
And Ms. Mueller?
Here.
Thank you.
Great. Looks like we have almost all, if close to everybody present. I appreciate everybody taking time out of their day. We're set for 2 hours. We'll take all the time we need, folks, but I also have some optimism that we will get you at least a few minutes to have some lunch before 2 o'clock. Also, just reminding everybody to mute yourselves as we move through the meeting, but with that, I encourage participation as we always get. It makes these meetings so much more productive. With that, I'm going to invite a motion to approve the minutes of the April 21st meeting.
Gabe moves.
Thank you.
Yamasaki seconds.
Moved by Judge Gabe, seconded by Mr. Yamasaki, that the minutes of the April 21st meeting be approved. My practice is to simply ask if there's any opposition to that motion. Hearing none, as the chair, I'll deem the minutes of the April 21st meeting unanimously approved. We next move to our public comment section, and given the format of this meeting through Zoom, public comment is written public comment. We did receive public comment. We made every effort for the public comment that was submitted timely, even one that was submitted, I believe, maybe just across the timeline, to get it to the members. You all have that public comment, folks. I will acknowledge that approximately 30 minutes ago, Rebecca and I received a communication that was described as public comment. It was not sent to TICPAC as a whole. It was sent to both Rebecca and I, and it was 30 minutes before the meeting. So with no disrespect intended, I made the executive decision that it would not be distributed to members because it couldn't be. I'm going to encourage the person, the entity that sent that, we'll forward that to JBBC as public comment that was submitted to TICPAC but not forwarded to members, but I want to make sure it is on the radar. So I think the best thing I can do is simply, I'll talk to Judge Rubin and we'll forward that letter to JBBC. With that and everybody receiving the public comment, I'm going to move us now to our discussion items. As I said when we started, these discussion items are probably some of the most significant we have annually in the sense of the dollars that we are addressing and the distribution of those dollars. However, so much work has gone into these final recommendations that I don't, if folks are listening outside of this committee and are somewhat wondering why there's not more discussion, and there may be, but on the other hand, we're very familiar with these issues, and the staff that prepares these recommendations for us is beyond excellent, and the numbers that come to us have been thoroughly vetted in the past. With that, we move first to item number one, court-appointed dependency counsel allocations. This is a consideration of the 22-23 allocations from the TCTF. This is an annual recommendation. The first amount we're dealing with is $156.7 million of these funds. Again, as with all the other allocations that we're discussing today, these allocations may change based upon final appropriations in the governor's budget. We have to act now to be able to make final recommendations in a timely manner when those final numbers come out. So we're dealing with what we have, though it could change. So with that, I'm going to turn this matter over to our presenters on item number one.
Thank you, Judge Conklin, and good afternoon. I'm Audrey Fancy with the Center for Families, Children of the Courts. We are here today to discuss three recommendations for fiscal year 22-23 funding for court-appointed dependency counsel, as well as providing a brief update on funding for fiscal year 21-22. As Judge Conklin noted, we are making these recommendations based on the current $156.7 million in the governor's January budget proposal. I will also note that the public comment received from, as Judge Conklin noted, we did receive comment from five dependency providers representing both children and parents from a cross-section of courts in the state. The first recommendation is to amend the court-appointed dependency counsel funding allocation methodology as it relates to the small court funding adjustment. As you are aware, the council's allocation methodology for dependency counsel includes several adjustments to ensure that small courts have adequate allocations to meet their needs. These adjustments transfer approximately $1 million from the larger courts to the small courts. The current methodology specifies that this offset be provided by reducing the budgets of larger courts receiving increases. However, in fiscal year 21-22, the council received one-time funding augmentation of $10 million for COVID-related expenses in dependency counsel. As a result, in fiscal year 22-23, almost all large courts would be receiving allocation decreases, and those few courts receiving an increase would be heavily impacted by the small court adjustments. Since the reallocation reference in the January 2019 report is complete and all courts are currently funded at the same percentage of need, staff recommend that the current methodology be revised so that funding for all large courts be adjusted to offset the cost for small court funding. Staff recommends that the council make this change even if additional funding is provided in the final 22-23 Budget Act, since the current methodology is based on offsetting the impact of a statewide reallocation, which is now complete. The second recommendation is to clarify the court-appointed dependency counsel funding allocation methodology as it relates to the survey of county council salaries. This methodology relies on a number of factors. First, a three-year rolling average of original dependency filings, a three-year rolling average of the number of children in foster care, the Bureau of Labor Statistics governmental salary index as modified for other judicial council budget allocations, and it also includes using the statewide median county council salary. I will quote from the 2016 report as to what this entails. The subcommittee determined that two data sources should be used, current county council salaries at the median of the first two salary ranges reported by counties and the Bureau of Labor Statistics current index. County council represent the child welfare department in dependency proceedings and are roughly parallel in skills and experience to court-appointed dependency counsel. County Council salary information is publicly available and can be used to update the workload model on a regular basis. However, the update cycle was not specified in that report, and the salary survey has not been conducted since 2016. Updating the survey will result in County Council median salary figures that will increase the total funding need reported to the Council each year. I will note that the median salary is used to calculate funding need and is not a salary guideline, nor will it increase the amount allocated to courts, which is dependent on funding provided in the Budget Act each year. The third recommendation is to request approval and submission for fiscal year 2022 funding allocations to the Judicial Council for its consideration at its July 14th, 15th, 2022 meeting, noting that the allocations may change based on final appropriations, including in the side budget act. The recommended allocations are shown on attachment 1A at page 13 of your PDF file. Finally, we'd like to provide an update regarding court-appointed dependency council funding for fiscal year 21-22. As described in the report, in March 2022, the Council approved the allocation of approximately $1.5 million in funding related to the Family First Prevention Services Prevention Act, which was creating an additional court hearing that these attorneys would need to participate in. This was in Assembly Bill 153. In consultation with the California Department of Social Services, Council staff have determined that this will necessitate a lengthy sequence of steps and approvals before that funding can be made available to the courts. The funding is being incorporated into the Council's interbranch agreement with CDSS for the next year, and courts and dependency providers will have access to these funds in fiscal year 2022 and ongoing. In closing, we're happy to answer any questions and request TCPAC approval of revising the current court-appointed dependency council funding allocation methodology to specify that the cost of the small court adjustment be funded by a pro rata adjustment, the funding allocations of all courts not falling under the definition of small court in this methodology. Specifying that the county council median salary survey be updated on annual basis beginning fiscal year 22-23 and fiscal year 2023 funding allocations based on the recommended methodology for consideration by the council in July 2022 as outlined in attachment 1A on page 13. Happy to answer any questions you may have.
Audrey, thank you so much. And I should also acknowledge that Don Will is with us. Don is the deputy director of the Judicial Council Center for Families, Children, and the Courts. They're both on board to answer questions. And again, the work they do is very much appreciated. But with that, the recommendations, folks, are set forth at page 9 and 10 of your materials, and we're open for questions.
This is Judge Thompson.
Go ahead.
Just want to know why it was selected to do a update on an annual basis as opposed to biannual, given negotiations, et cetera, within various bargaining units that may not come through for a year or so to be updated?
We did talk about different funding cycles for an update, and part of this update does require us to go to the county's websites, find the appropriate page, update things. And one consideration we had that if we're not doing it on a regular basis, they could go through a class and comp procedure. It might be hard for us to find, you know, the same classification. But, you know, certainly did consider that it, you know, either annual or biannual or some other cycle, and would certainly entertain comments on that. I don't know if Don had anything else to add about our recommendation for annual.
And I just raised that because some courts have contracts with dependency counsel, things like that, that may be for more than one particular year ongoing.
And I think, Judge, to that, I would just flag what Audrey said about doing the salary survey and would change the overall need that we report, but it wouldn't change the amounts allocated to each court year over year. It changes the universe of need, but the funding allocation is still based on how much we get from the State Budget Act and how we chop it up based on the methodology. So I don't think those two things would conflict. I think, though, as Audrey says, if the committee would like us to do it biannually or a different cycle, we're certainly fine with modifying the recommendation that way.
Thank you.
This is Sean Landry. To me, I don't think that is an essential factor. It changes the need. And I think the important piece is that we track that need on an annual basis. So however we do that, whether it's biannually or the way the recommendation is stated, I don't think that matters, but it's important to track so we know where we're at. So I like the recommendation as is.
Any other questions on this issue and the recommendation set forth? Have I missed any hands? Did anybody else want to make any comments? Trying to watch. I don't see any. Is there a motion to consider concerning those recommendations?
Judge Ryan, I move that we approve the recommendations.
As set forth at page 9, Judge Ryan?
Yes.
Thank you. Do we have a second for Judge Ryan's motion?
Judge Larchman second.
Moved and seconded that the recommendation set forth at page 9 of 53 of your materials be approved. So now it's a pending motion. Any additional discussion on the pending motion? Judge Thompson, were your concerns addressed to your satisfaction?
So I was right in with Judge Larch seconding.
Okay, that's a good sign. Thank you. All right. It's been moved and seconded. I've opened it up for further discussion. I don't want to prevent discussion, but I haven't heard any. I'm looking at the small screens in front of me. I see nothing else. Is there any opposition to the motion to approve the three recommendations as set forth as page 9? I've paused. I've heard no opposition. As the chair, I'm deeming those three recommendations unanimously approved. Dawn and Audrey, again, thank you so much for all your work throughout the year and culminating on this approval. We understand that the numbers ultimately could change given allocations, but we truly appreciate your efforts. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We now move to item number 2 on the agenda. This is allocations from the IMF. We were sort of orienting Judge Kalmakarian yesterday, and we were promising him that we would do our best to explain what these letters mean. And this is the Improvement and Modernization Fund that we deal with every year. We are in a much better position this year, given the way that these numbers have advanced for us. So this is item 2 on your agenda, folks. The ultimate recommendations on item 2 that we'll be asked to consider are set forth at page 7 of 53. And joining us today for this discussion is Shirley Mohammed, an analyst with Judicial Council Budget Services. Shirley, it's your show. Thank you.
Thank you, Judge Conkling. Thank you for the introduction. My name is Shirley Mohammed. I am an analyst in budget services. Item 2 of today's agenda is a recommendation from the Revenue and Expenditure Subcommittee, or R&E, requesting approval of allocations from the State Trial Court Improvement and Modernization Fund, or IMF for short, for the upcoming 2022-23 fiscal year. The total request is for $45.4 million, which is $9.6 million less than the prior year. The reduction is primarily due to one-time costs, as well as expiring budget change proposal funding. I would like to direct your attention to Attachment 2A, found on page 18 of your materials, which shows the numeric details of this request. This is a summary by program shown in lines 1 to 34, and at the bottom of the page by office shown in lines 36 to 46. Column D reflects the approved allocations from last year, and columns E to G reflect the recommended allocations for 2022-23. Column E breaks down the request as $7.4 million for state operations, and column F reflects approximately $38 million for local assistance. The remaining two columns, H and I, show the change from current year in dollars and in percentages. Next, Attachment 2B on pages 19 and 20 provide detailed descriptions for each of the 34 programs outlined in Attachment 2A. Next, Attachment 2C on page 21 of your materials is the Fund Condition Statement. In this, you will see that based on current revenue estimates, as well as audit findings of approximately $5 million, the fund is estimated to have the ability to sustain the program request for the foreseeable future. Approval of the requested allocations will leave an estimated fund balance in the IMF of approximately $16.4 million. This is reflected under column E, line 19. We have invited office leaders and program representatives to today's meeting. Did you have any questions on any of the specific allocations? The RNE subcommittee recommendation on page 17 is to approve the 2022-23 IMF allocations in the amount of $45.4 million. This concludes our presentation, and we are happy to take any questions you may have.
Shirley, thank you so much, and to all the other members that are present from each of these entities for questions, we thank you as well. I also thank all the members of R&E for all the work. This is, again, I know I'm repeating myself, but I think it's warranted, reflective of all the hard work of that subcommittee to us that gets us to these numbers. So with that and the detail that's been presented, and I know it's a lot, but I want to see if anybody has any questions or concerns about the recommendation. It's a summary recommendation of page 17 to approve all the allocations that are summarized from page 13 through page 16 or 17, and then in the detailed charts attached. Any questions from anybody? You're overwhelmed with detail. Okay. And again, I mean that as a compliment. This is meaty stuff, and it comes to us in a form that I think everybody is familiar with. If there's no questions or concerns for Shirley or staff, is there a motion?
Judge Larson. Go ahead, Judge Conklin.
Did I hear?
No. I'll defer to Judge Larson.
Did you have a question or a motion, Judge Larson?
No, I was going to make a motion, but I thought Judge Conklin,
nope.
Were you doing that? If not, I'll make the motion to adopt the recommendation as outlined on page 17 and 53.
Thank you.
And this is David Yamasaki. I'll second that motion.
Thanks so much. Moved and seconded the recommendation at page 17 for a total of $45,384,000 in preliminary allocations from IMF be approved. Now that it's open for discussion, any further discussion or comments on the pending motion? Pausing and hearing none. Any opposition to the motion concerning the recommendation at page 17? Pausing and hearing none, the recommendation is unanimously approved. Shirley and staff, thank you all again, and R&E and all the members. And I hesitate to name them all because I'll forget them. Your work is very much appreciated, and I think reflective of the motion today. Thank you so much, Shirley, appreciate it.
Thank you, Judge.
We're moving now, so Judge Kalmakarian knows this because he caught on to it quickly yesterday. I think we have some newer members, but we always, in this annual meeting, we progress from IMF allocations to TCTF allocations, Trial Court Trust Fund allocations, and that's our next item. Item number three on our agenda is to consider the recommendation set forth at page 28 of your materials. This is the annual allocation recommendation for trial courts. It includes most of the funding proposed in the governor's budget, as well as workload formula allocations. Now, I do want to clarify, and everybody's familiar with this, but for everybody's awareness, this recommendation does not include the $50 million in proposed civil assessment backfill, which is part of the government's proposed budget to address the reduction of civil assessment fees from $300 to $150. This is an ongoing discussion item with the administration and the legislature, and there's quite a few interested parties on this. The proposal will come back to us through our committee onto the council and be agendized at a future date when that $50 million civil assessment piece is in place. It's floating out there, but it's not there yet. So I just wanted to clarify that the TCTF allocations we're discussing today don't address the $50 million in civil assessments. Additionally, there's an informational reference included in the report from RAS, the resource assessment study, as used in determining the workload formula, and Oksana is going to address this as well. And Oksana, there you are. Thank you so much. As always, we appreciate your work and your input. Turn this over to you. And again, folks, Oksana is ultimately going to be concluding with the recommendations at page 26 and 27. Oksana?
Thank you, Judge Conklin. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Oksana Tak, Senior Analyst with Budget Services. Item 3 of today's agenda, and for your consideration, is the preliminary 2022-23 trial court allocations for the base, discretionary, and non-discretionary programs from the Trial Court Trust Fund, TCTF, State Court Facilities Construction Fund, and General Fund. These include recommendations from the RME Subcommittee, the Funding Methodology Subcommittee, FMS, funding proposed in the governor's budget, and workload formula allocation methodologies approved by the Judicial Council. The governor's budget proposal reflects critical investments to advance equal access for all Californians and is the largest budget ever for the judicial branch. New funding for the trial courts includes three distinct purposes that addresses inflationary cost pressure, fiscal equity among the 58 trial courts, and judicial workload needs. Beginning with the new funding proposals, the FMS recommends allocating the new funding as follows. First, allocating inflationary funding of $84.2 million as a 3.8% increase over each court's 2021-22 workload formula allocation, consistent with the approach taken with the current year inflationary increase received. Second, allocating the equity funding of $100 million by bringing courts below the statewide average as close to the statewide average funding level as calculated for 2022-23. Where each court is brought up to the same workload formula percentage and consistent with how equity funding was allocated in 2018-19. And lastly, allocating the new judgeship funding of $31.2 million based on the council-approved workload formula methodology, with non-sheriff security funding reduced from the funding amount prior to allocation, and consistent with the approach taken when judgeship funding was received 2 years ago. Next, on attachment 3A on page 28, details the RME subcommittee recommendation on TCTF allocations for various programs. This attachment is broken down into sections. Columns E, F, and G represent approved allocations from 2021-22. Columns H, I, and J display the requested allocations for 2022-23. And columns K and L represent the dollar and percentage change, respectively, from current year to budget year. The bottom portion of attachment 3A also provides summaries of the total allocations displayed cumulatively by each office and by each TCTF program. Next, the attachment 3B on pages 29 and 30 provides details of recommended TCTF preliminary allocations displaying base, discretionary, and non-discretionary programs from the TCTF in the amount of $2.853 billion in column AH, including total TCTF base allocation in the amount of $2.339 billion in column W. This document includes allocations from the workload formula and is used to assist courts in breaking down their various allocation categories. Lastly, attachment 3C on pages 31 through 33 details the 2022-23 workload formula allocation information of $2.4 billion with the total by court in column AB, and provides the workload formula need and funding percentage should all proposed funding be finalized in the 2022 Budget Act. The materials include a TCTF fund condition statement indicating that the fund is projected to have adequate funds to support all these requests. The information is outlined in attachment 3D on page 34, with projections indicating a fund balance of $105.1 million at the end of 2022-23 fiscal year, included in row 27, of which $31.2 million is restricted and $73.9 million is unrestricted. The recommendations presented to the TCBAC for considerations are listed on pages 26 and 27 of the materials, contingent on the proposed funding being included in the enacted 2022 budget. Please note that since these are preliminary allocations, some modification may be necessary based on future state revenue revisions and priority changes. That concludes our presentation. Should subcommittee members have any questions, we have Judicial Council staff on the call to assist as needed. Thank you.
Oksana, thank you so much. So again, I'm going to open it up for questions and just again not acknowledge the efforts of John and Zlatko and Martin and everybody in getting us these numbers. They're more than impressive and helpful to us, but they're subject to change, as we know. And with that, opening it up for questions to Oksana and all staff members concerning the recommendations set forth at page 26.
Judge Conklin, this is David Yamasaki, if I may.
Sure.
I just wanted to take a moment to recognize the remarkable place that we are in from a financial standpoint. I would consider this item that we're considering to be monumental. They include items that I know the trial courts have advocated and urged and really dreamt of having is an annual increase or an increase that's built on a base from the prior year. And this is something that we see. The fact that we've aspired to have equity for those courts that have fallen below the average, and it has been an enormous struggle for courts to catch up with increasing expenses. And really, it's a commendable job put forth by Martin and the members of the JCC to bring to us and advocate on our behalf an amazing budget for us. And I would like to make a motion to approve at the appropriate time. This is just a significant opportunity and day for us as far as I'm concerned.
That's excellent. And so I'm going to deem that a motion, but acknowledge your comments as well. I think you said them more powerfully than I did. And if you would have asked any of us, I think a few years ago, to look forward to this year and have these same numbers, I think we would have said, thought maybe you were in a different universe. And here we are today. Thanks again to all those advocacy efforts. And the chief keeps saying we gotta have access to justice, and they got the numbers, and so we will. So David, there's a motion pending now to approve the recommendation set forth at page 23. Is there a second?
Judge Thompson, Landry, second.
I heard Thompson and Landry, but I heard Thompson a moment before Landry.
Yeah, I'll defer. Thank you.
I'll give you credit, Sean, but I heard Judge Thompson first. So it's been moved and seconded that the recommendations set forth at page 26 and 27, supported by the charts included to those attached to those recommendations, be approved. Any questions at all? I'm trying to watch the board. We spent so much time on this that I think we're to the point where we've questioned it satisfactorily, but I don't want to prevent any further questions. Anybody else? Any concerns? Hearing none, is there any opposition to the recommendation set forth at page 26 and 27, each of those recommendations? Hearing and seeing none, I deem those recommendations unanimously approved. Oksana, thank you so much for the work you do and for everybody else that's on board here and all the subcommittees that get us to this point. And again, we've all tried to acknowledge the work that brought us here from Martin and staff, and we thank for that too. All right, moving to item four. This is the consideration of pre-trial allocations and funding for action. This is going to be presented in just a minute by Michelle Allen. This year, the branch received $70 million in one-time funding and $70 million in ongoing funding for pre-trial allocations. This item is for ongoing allocations beginning in fiscal year 22-23. And I'm sorry, Deidre is going to present on this. There she is. Deidre?
Hello, good afternoon. Can you hear me, Judge Conklin?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, everyone. I'm here today on Senate Bill 129, which provides $70 million in ongoing funding to the Judicial Council for distribution to the courts for the implementation and operation of ongoing court programs and practices that promote the safe, efficient, fair, and timely pretrial release of individuals booked into jail. The Judicial Council is required to distribute $70 million each year, this began in 2021-22, to all courts based on each county's relative proportion of the state population 18 to 25 years of age. The breakdown of these ongoing allocation recommendations is reflected in Attachment 4A of your materials. And Judicial Council staff recommend that the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee approve the 2022-23 allocations for pretrial release funding as outlined in that recommendation for consideration by the Budget Committee and then ultimately the Judicial Council at its July 15th, 2022 business meeting. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Deidre, thank you so much. Appreciate that. So the recommendation set forth at page 37, and that's again, as was noted, to have TCPAC approve the 22-23 allocations. Questions? All right. I haven't heard any questions. I'll invite a motion.
Judge Lush, make a motion to adopt the recommendation as outlined on page 37 of 53.
This is Judge Ryan. I second that.
Moved and seconded that the recommendation set forth at page 37 that's supported by the charts attached be approved for the $70 million pretrial allocation. Now it's open for discussion. Any discussion or questions on this item? Hearing none, is there any opposition to the recommendation, pardon me, page 37 of the materials by any member of TCPAC? And I hear none. I'm going to deem the recommendation at page 37 of the materials unanimously approved. Thank you all very much for those efforts. And again, from all the staff that put all their work into this, Deidre and everybody else, we so much appreciate your work.
Thank you, Jeff.
So we're moving swimmingly, and I don't want to curse anything, but we've set aside 2 hours and we're 45 minutes into this and we're 4/5 of the way through our action items. So again, folks, sometimes I have a bit of a proclivity to sort of move at a pace, and I don't mean to prevent any discussion, but you guys know this stuff. And so I appreciate as we move through these items, but let's get there to item number five. This is a consideration of the workload formula impact for remote appearance fees. We've dealt with this recently. I think it's a pretty straightforward issue. It was recently approved a recommendation for consideration by JBBC and the council on returning remote appearance fees dollar for dollar. So essentially this is a pass-through. The item is to continue the discussion and consider how these fees would impact the workload formula. Oksana, I was too early in thanking you for everything you've done, because you're back up again. So briefly, could you present item five for us?
Absolutely. Thank you, Judge Conklin. Good afternoon, everyone. Oksana Tak again, presenting on item five of today's agenda. At the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee's recent meeting on April 21st, the committee voted to approve a recommendation that remote appearance fees under Government Code Section 70630 should be distributed back to courts on a dollar-for-dollar basis retroactive to January 1st, 2022, when California Rules of Court Rule 3.672 became effective. The impact of the workload formulas on the local revenue portion of the methodology was deferred to a future take-back meeting and is included today for consideration, effective July 1st, 2022. For reference, the Council approved a take-back recommendation back in January 2020 for a similar occurrence related to court reporter fees collected pursuant to Government Code Section 68086. It was determined that fees collected for civil proceedings lasting more than 1 hour be distributed back to the trial courts on a dollar-for-dollar basis, and that this revenue stream be excluded from the workload formula. This approach was consistent with fees collected for court reporter services in civil proceedings lasting less than 1 hour. Determination on how certain revenues impact the workload formula requires distinction based on the action taken effective in 2019-20, where each court's workload formula funding percentage is adjusted to include net civil assessments and specific general ledger accounts. Costs that are associated with activities that are not captured in the resource assessment study, such as interpreter staff and court reporter staff in non-mandated areas, are excluded. Focusing on today's remote appearance fee, excluding this from the workload formula would be consistent with council adopted recommendations on court reporter fees and enable courts to offset the cost of remote appearance services. Though the revenues collected have ranged in the hundreds of dollars statewide in recent years, it is anticipated that they will increase based on the change in Rule 3.672. The two options presented for discussion and consideration on page 42 of the materials are: exclude revenues collected under Government Code Section 70630 as a funding category in the workload formula methodology for other local revenues effective July 1st, 2022, or include those revenues as a funding category in the workload formula methodology for other local revenues. That concludes our presentation, and we will be happy to take any questions.
Oksana, thank you so much. So there is a decision to be made here, folks, between those two recommendations at page 42. One is to exclude and one is to include. And I'm opening up for discussion. We've had a significant talks about this in the past. I've tried to acknowledge John and Zlatko and Martin and others, but I failed to acknowledge Fran, who has put significant work into this too. They're all on board for questions if you have any.
Judge Thompson, I have a quick question.
Go ahead.
Some courts have their own, what I'll call it court call, call it whatever you want, for remote appearances electronically, not video though, that they charge the parties. With use of those portals or procedures, does that funding, is it excluded from other revenues, or is it included in other revenues?
Any thoughts, Oksana or others, as whether or not funds, for instance, from court call that courts charge are included or excluded?
Wondering if this is Brandy, wondering if Slocko is on the line. The help.
I am. Hopefully you can hear me. My understanding, this is limited to the specific code section that has been raised before you. This is not a question about court call revenues, which might be a different question that needs to be reviewed and discussed by the committee. This is a limited revenue, and as we know, as Oksana mentioned, of limited scope in terms of dollars over the last several years.
but likely going to change significantly in the future, especially if legislation comes through with regard to criminal matters, and something that could go up or down depending upon how revenue is allocated to courts in one format and or another that have bought equipment to utilize one process but might be willing to utilize this process and abandon to have one consistent platform, if you will.
And from the civil side as well. That would be a different revenue discussion than this issue. This is limited to the government code that's for you.
Okay.
And you're right, Judge Thompson. This is one of those remains to be seen in the sense of, and I think we talked yesterday when we were preparing for the meeting, the revenue stream right now is I think it's, Oksana, I don't know if you remember, but it's minuscule.
Yes, Judge Conklin, you're correct. This is Fran Muller. So what's been sort of collected historically specific to this is in the several hundreds of dollars statewide. So it's been very low. It's expected it would increase over time based on the new rules of court that was effective in January.
So Judge Thompson, you raise a great point. I guess my thought would be that we're preparing for that bridge, but we haven't even come close to crossing it yet. And that's what I think this recommendation is meant to address. To focus our discussion a little bit, I would draw us to recommendation number one, to exclude the revenues. I think that's what our talks have been in the past. We've vetted this pretty thoroughly, at least for the time being. And then if this turns out to be a much more significant revenue stream than we're dealing with now, we can always go back and readdress it. So I'll tell you what, to focus, I'm doing this only to get us moving, but we have plenty of time to focus us. I'll make a motion that we adopt recommendation number one, to exclude the revenues collected under 706.3 as a funding category.
I move to second it.
Moved and seconded. Judge Sachs, I'm sorry, I see you have your hand up. So it's been moved and seconded, but I want to address your question. Did I see a hand? You're not.
You did. I was just going to second the motion, so we're good.
Oh, great. Okay, thanks. Moved and seconded that the motion to exclude the revenues collected under Government Code Section 706.30 as a funding category from the workload formula be approved. Any further discussion?
This is Judge Calatarian. I feel like I need to say something to earn my keep today.
Oh, don't worry, it will.
It seems to make sense to exclude it at this point. With such small amounts being involved, it just seems like it might unnecessarily complicate things. This can always be looked at in the future, but for now it makes sense to exclude it and be done with it.
I think you make a good point. All right. Considering, Judge, that comment as well, I believe now it's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Any opposition to the motion to exclude the revenues as summarized? Pausing and hearing none, I deem the recommendation number one, to exclude the revenues, is unanimously approved. Thank you very much. So we're not there yet, folks. That takes care of our action items. And I appreciate, again, all the work that went into preparing for this and culminating in each of these recommendations being unanimously approved. But we do have a couple of informational items, and we have plenty of time for those. So we're going to turn to informational item number one. This is an update on the self-help annual agenda. Nick Armstrong is with us. This is an informational update of the three-year average population data from the California Department of Finance Demographic Research Unit and population estimates for cities and counties in the state. Nick?
Thank you, Judge, and good afternoon, everyone. So yeah, this is just a brief informational item regarding an update to the rolling three-year average population data we obtained from the California Department of Finance. And just for a little background on this, at its September 2018 business meeting, the Council adopted three policy recommendations regarding self-help funding allocation. The first recommendation is that staff would update the allocation every 3 years with the latest three-year average county population data for proportional allocation after baseline funding. The second recommendation is that in between this three-year update schedule, staff would annually provide an update to the latest three-year average population data as an informational-only item, but not to update the funding allocation itself. So this is just to keep courts aware and up to date of any potential shifts in population to better prepare for the allocation update that happens every 3 years. And lastly, we would maintain the current self-help allocation baseline of $34,000 per court and revisit this baseline level in 2021. And this was revisited last year at the July 2021 business meeting, where the self-help funding allocation was recalculated utilizing the latest population data. And also the three policy recommendations were retained, including the use of that $34,000 base per court. So this report just addresses that second recommendation in providing an update to the three-year population average and the corresponding update to each county's percentage of the state total. The update can be found in columns C and D of Table 1 in the report, which is on pages 44 through 46 of the materials. The table also includes the current population average used for proportional allocation. That's in columns A and B. And this will be continue to be used until fiscal year 24-25, which is the next scheduled update. So that concludes my briefing, and I can answer any questions if there are any.
Nick, thanks so much. Any questions concerning the self-help update? Doesn't appear to be. Nick, thanks very much for that presentation. We appreciate it. And that moves us to our last informational item, which is the TCTF funds held on behalf of expenditure reporting. This is currently a quarterly report to TICTEC on how funds are expended and plan for expenditures. There's a recommendation here that they be updated, that this be an annual, and I'm going to turn to Cottrell for that. There he is. Cottrell, join us. Thank you.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Cottrell Wood, and I'm a senior analyst with Budget Services. So info item two, included as pages 47 through 53 of the materials, is the trial court trust fund, funds held on behalf expenditure reporting. Just to provide a little background, so upon completion of TCTF funds held on behalf projects or planned expenditures, courts are required to report to the trial court budget advisory committee or TICBAC within 90 days on the project or planned expenditure and how those funds were expended. Now, TICBAC recently approved a recommendation to receive these updates as well as the status of non-completed projects on an annual basis. Of course, this is pending council approval, but if approved, this may be the last quarterly report provided. For this particular quarter, only Orange Superior Court indicated completion status on a case management system project, and a summary of this information can be found on page 53 of the materials. Judge Conklin, that concludes this short presentation, but I'm happy to answer any questions if anyone has any.
Any questions at all for Cottrell? I'm fully supportive of this, having sat on this subcommittee for quite a while, and this is, and I hope nobody's viewing this as anything other than continued transparency and efficiency as we make these updates, and I think that's exactly what it is. So Cottrell, thanks so much. Any questions for Cottrell? Thank you, Cottrell. So, folks, that puts us an hour ahead of time. Not that I want to waste your time, but we've got John with us as well. John, thanks so much. I just want to make sure if there's anything you wanted to add today or Zlatko or any questions generally for folks.
Everybody's thank you, Judge Conklin. And really not much to add. We're awaiting the governor's release of the May revision. We expect that will be released on May 13th, Friday. And with that comes a series of conversations with the legislature as we make the mad dash to the final budget act. So we will have a series of hearings coming up. We are always appreciative of court leadership with Mr. Harrigan and Judge Zahner will be at the table with us as we engage in the last hurdles here as we run forward to the final budget act. Just as a reminder, the governor will release his next year revenue projections, which the legislature has been eagerly awaiting and will certainly influence their decision making in the next few weeks as we land the budget. So all signs have been very, very positive up to this point relative to the governor's proposed budget with regard to the judiciary, which we're we're really pleased to see and very hopeful that those revenues projections that the finance will release on May 13th will show a strong revenue bucket for next year. Happy to answer any questions.
Thanks so much, John. Much appreciated. Any questions for John or others? Mr. Taniguchi, go ahead.
So I know that Judge Conklin had mentioned that we're not making any recommendations on that $50 million for the civil assessment backfill. Has there been any further discussion on whether the backfill might include the full $300 civil assessment?
Thank you for that question. And there is a broader conversation going on with the legislature and the governor regarding really two issues. One is civil assessments as a funding source for the judicial branch, and that conversation, we're very hopeful that our dependency on civil assessments goes away and swapped out for general fund. The Chief Justice and the Council have repeatedly supported general fund backfills behind civil assessments, and quite frankly, just getting out of the civil assessment dependency is a good place for the judiciary. So that's one piece of the puzzle. And then secondly is a broader policy discussion about ensuring that folks show up to our their important court matters. And so whether it's through the fines, fees, civil assessment, or through some other means to encourage individuals to show up for court is important, and that conversation is also being had. So directly answering your question, yeah, I think everything's on the table with the legislature right now on both sides of that important discussion. So it is definitely a very, very focused series of conversations being had right now. I expect post May revise, we should see kind of just where things land. Neil, did I answer your question?
Yes, you did. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, John. Any other questions at this point? All right. So I've tried to, I always hesitate to thank people as I always leave people out. And I think as we all know, sometimes it's the quietest people that do all the work and get the least acknowledgement. One of those quiet persons is Rebecca Fleming. If we're Batman and Robin, she's Batman for the work that she does for us. And I just wanted to thank her for that. And Brandy, who always puts these meetings together. If I had a nickel for every report I got from Brandy, I'd be retiring much sooner than anticipated. But anyways, I think we should all be acknowledged that the important work she does for us, as well as all the other staff who I acknowledged today. And also her work is reflective of the fact that we're done an hour early. So we had some great reports prepared by everybody. I thank everybody for that. I appreciate the input from all the committee members today. I keep promising we'll get together in the future. I'm hesitating to do that because I owe so many In-N-Out burgers to people that I'm going to have to take a second out on my house once we get together for that meeting. But I'll make good on it. And with that, I'll conclude us as I always do and say, go Dodgers. Nice job, folks. Thank you very much. Brandy, when's our next meeting?
July 14th.
July 14th. Be healthy and stay safe, folks. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.